It's Sunday night. Happy New Year's from the Ooze. TC Downey and Jason Sorrell here. TC, what's going on tonight, man?
What's up, man? Just fucking running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I fried out my hard drive for my laptop last week, apparently, after the Sunday show. And, everything was fine. I went to bed, powered down the computer like I normally do, and when I got up, man, and went to power it back on, it was like, if there's no operating system on this thing. And the hard drive itself was making this, like wretched noise, like it sounded like gigabytes trying to gang rape megabytes or something.
So what about you, man? Gabriel got down here on the 28th, and it has been nonstop, running around, playing games, hanging out, goofing around. We did an anime convention today. Of course, took her out for dinner for her birthday where she wanted to go. We've been out to dinner a couple other times. It's just been nonstop and just typical when she's down here. Been a good time and everything else, but I can tell you, I'm tired. During the summer when she's here for 3 months or two and a half months or whatever, it's not as not as bad because we kind of space things out and everything. But while she's down here, man, I haven't done any tattoos or anything while she's down here. So we're gearing up for the advertising that happens in January. It's a big time for tattoo artists because people are getting their tax checks, so they're willing to spend a little, get some ink and everything. So looking forward to that. But other than that, man, just been having a good time. Did a little drinking yesterday, some playing card games and hanging out. And so I think with this show, we're going to kind of take it easy. We're going to do an hour-long show tonight. We're just going to talk, man. It's the New Year's show. So we're going to talk about what's gone on in the last year, the highlights of 2011, whether it's with the Ooze or with whatever else has been going on. So if you want to call in and talk about, the highlights from your year, big things you've accomplished or whatever, the number's 347-989-1371. And then the last half hour, we're going to talk about where kind of we might be going in 2012. Not resolutions. I don't think either of us believe in that resolution bullshit. I think it's if you're going to make a resolution, well, you do that every day of of the year. You don't do that on one special day. That if you're going to resolve to accomplish something, well, then you resolve to accomplish it and you make it happen.
Right on. Yeah, I actually yesterday during the open discussion me and Lehi had, I kind of made a point that New Year's resolutions were more like guaranteed failures than they were actual days that things would get accomplished. I mean, beyond the foolishness of waiting a whole entire year to start something on one particular day, I mean, more times than not, I hear people say, my New Year's resolution is to quit smoking, quit drinking, and in about 2 weeks, you see them with a cigarette and a beer in their hand again, and you know how that went.
Right on. Yeah, it's usually shit they don't really want to do. They don't really want to give this up. Exactly like you're saying, if they really wanted to do it, they wouldn't wait till New Year's to go, okay, now I'm going to go ahead and do it. So, we're not talking resolutions. We're talking about maybe things you've already got in motion. That you're looking forward to accomplishing the next year or whatever you think might be going on the next year. We're talking about 2011, and we'll probably work backwards in our minds here. Just recently, on the December 25th show, we did a bunch of prank calls. And kudos to Ron French for catching it and being ready for it. But it was funny, Dark Fool posted a video on my Facebook, and he might have posted it on yours as well, of Paul Valentine posting his little, end of the year greeting to his followers or subscribers, the three of them or four of them or how many of them it is. And he mentioned that he got a call, he got a prank call. And this is the funny thing about, I thought about this video. This is typical Paul Valentine, I guess. He recognized that it was a prank call. He even knew it was from a Blog Talk radio show. He probably even knew it was us, but didn't mention us by name, okay? So whether he knew it was us or not. But then what we spoofed it a little bit, and, you know, it was like a lawyer and some angry dude calling in threatening to sue him, okay? He took that very seriously and responded with, you know, you can sue me all you want. I have nothing in my name. I'm smarter than that. You know, you try to get money from me, but it's like getting your blood from a rock. It's not going to happen. You know, do what you got to do. Fuck you, like that. Paul Valentine, typical shit. My thinking is,
right,
like, okay, this dude's obviously afraid of a lawsuit. If that's where he was at, that's where he focused on that. Now we interrupted his evening. Now we're being, you know, jackasses or whatever. But that he's sweating about a lawsuit. So he's talking all that shit about how you can do whatever you want. Go ahead and sue me. The man's afraid of a lawsuit. So there's something going on there. And this is just my opinion based on the video. But it seemed a little weird to me, a little funny to me that, you know, he would sweat about this lawsuit thing.
I think I'm not necessarily convinced that he understood that it was a prank call in the first place. I do know that, you know, from the video, he recognized that it was from a Blog Talk radio show. But I think that he took everything else in accordance very seriously, and that's what led to him sweating about the lawsuit. I have to assume that, you know, a guy like that, you know, he's just waiting for somebody to come along and stick a big dick in his ass and... Yeah, it probably happens more frequently than he wants to admit.
Yeah, I've been in a lot of ways the man's beaten down by life. I've seen some of his videos where he talks about his neighbors giving him a hard time and shit. So, yeah, I mean, from what I understand, he occasionally does some good things as far as, you know, whatever little bullshit he gets into in his neighborhood or whatever. He's an old fart doddering around his yard and his neighborhood and, you know, he takes up certain civic causes or whatever. But, you know, all in all, the guy can be a jerk. We're pretty much all aware of that. And so, I'm sure he's just waiting for the one day that he pisses off the wrong neighbor or the wrong child or stepchild or whatever the hell, what other family drama he's got going on. And he finds himself in court and is looking at everything being fucking taken away from him, whatever that might be. So, whoever does win that lawsuit, they get the World Church of whatever the hell his thing is, his organization, and the whole $1.30 that might be worth or whatever. So, good on you. But, yeah, it was funny that he was all, you know, sweating about that lawsuit. So, looking back, man, I mean, 2011, what stands out in your mind? What do you think about 2011? What's going to be the thing you take away from it?
2011 for me was, I think, the year that I completely remodeled my life. It's kind of weird because you talk about people going through midlife crises or whatever, and I hit 35, which I'm assuming is the halfway point of my lifespan, and that's being pretty optimistic. but all in all, I mean, and not only did my own personal philosophies really take a real formation like they never have before, but I really started putting a lot of things into practice that I had only been, I want to say, hobbying towards up until that point. You know, like the minimalism thing, trying to get out of the dead-end job that ended up killing me anyway. You know, it's kind of funny because one of the things that I had said that I wanted to do was get the fuck out of that business. And ironically enough, today we were, you know, packing away the Christmas tree, packing away all the Christmas stuff, getting the house back in order. And I came across my 5-year and 10-year pens from Phantom Fireworks. And I remember particularly receiving this 10-year pen, and it's in like a I want to say a Foxwood pen case with a plaque on it, and it says, you know, T.C. Downey, in recognition of 10 years of service. And inside of it is, well, it's a fucking plated gold pen. And I remember when I was receiving that particular reward, I mean, we had to go to these stupid managers' meetings and walk up to the you know, podium and receive it in front of the couple of hundred other managers and corporate people that are there in these meetings. And I remember as I was accepting that pen, I was thinking to myself, oh, my God, I never wanted the fireworks business to be my lifelong career. It just was never my idea from the get-go on. It was a job, you know. Prior to fireworks, I did numismatics. I just bought and sold rare coins, fine jewelry, that kind of thing. And I made a pretty decent living at it. The problem was that the woman that I married at the time was not happy with the idea of a paycheck that wasn't steady. Not being able to depend on when that money was coming in was detrimental to her. It didn't matter that my personal income would have to take like a 65% reduction to get a steady paycheck. But it was more important to be able to know when that money was coming for her. So I quit the numismatics business. I, you know, happened to run across an ad in the newspaper, which back when I was hired, that was actually still how you got a job, was the newspaper. And the rest is history. 10 years later, and you know, at least one continent of visit difference. And I'm glad I got the fuck out of that shit, man.
Right on, right on. So I guess for me, looking back at things, you know, 2011 was just a year of getting things in focus. And we got a caller online. Let me go ahead and bring this person on the line here. 615,
yeah.
You're on your brain, man.
Hey, guys. That? Oh, I was having trouble listening to the show, so I was calling in so I could hear it.
Oh, okay.
I can mute you back out, or do you have any takeaways from 2011 you want to share with us?
Takeaways from 2011? I don't know. Hey, I was thinking about that earlier today, and sin-wise, at least, the thing that strikes me the most is when Zach was in that take on me phase. Do y'all remember that at all?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about that. I heard that song on the radio. Like, that song is permanently connected in my mind to Zach now.
Well, he's in the chat room. Hopefully he doesn't get the idea to start that shit up again.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Right on, right on. So, yeah, if you want to hang out and listen to the show, I'll just go ahead and we'll mute you back out and just hang tight. All right, man. All right, cool. I'll go ahead and mute you here. All right. So my take, I mean, 2011 to me was, you know, just coming into focus, kind of like what you said. It's where, you know, all the philosophy and all the talk and everything else, the studying and everything, and it's just the need to apply it really came to the forefront. So 2011 was just everything kind of aligning itself up in that manner. And what I saw, at least for me, was that I have a pretty good beginning going, but it's just that. It's just a beginning. It's just a start of whatever it is I'm doing, whether it's, you know, writing or, you know, artwork or whatever. That, you know, here I am. I'll be 40 this year. So, you know, you talk about a midlife crisis. That this is, you know, this is me going, okay, now I've been at this, you know, goofing around for 40 years. Now it's time to get serious. So I have no idea what's coming down the road. But other than that, it, you know, at least for me, that was a big thing. Of course, the, you know, the money rolling in from tattooing and everything else. This has been a really good year. It just seems to get better every year. But then the thing that I look at as far as, you know, the news, the Occupy movement kind of taking off, It seems to be not just a year of coming into focus and figuring out what it is you want to do for you and I, but it seems like a lot of people are experiencing that. A lot of people are waking up and looking around and going, you know, shit's not right. That the way things are being handled isn't the way to handle things. And I think they're waking up to, you know, all the little gizmos and gadgets, all the different distractions, all the different ways that, you know, we're encouraged to entertain ourselves, seeing just how empty that kind of existence is. So people, I think, are coming away from that and really reevaluating what it is they value and what it is how they want to spend their time. So I think it's kind of good to see all that happening. And, of course, when you see that kind of thing happening, the resistance to all that increases as well. So I think there has been a marked, you know, resistance from people who would prefer to stay, you know, apathetic, complacent, or, you know, stoic about the way things are. So that's kind of my overview of 2011.
Right on.
Anybody in particular stand out in your mind as, you know, I don't know, like 2011, you look at the different people you know or the different people you've engaged with or that you've, you know, kind of watched what they're doing. Does anybody stand in your mind as being, as having really come into their own in 2011? And on the flip side of that, has anybody really just kind of totally made an ass of themselves in 2011? In your opinion?
Ooh, I see the trap set here. coming into their own, let me see. There's a lot of people that have made an incredible amount of progress that I interact with pretty regularly, at least via the internet, that I've seen really kind of come into their own this past year. And, of course, there are a couple that I could definitely point to and say, yeah, you just really dropped the fucking ball. But like I said, I see the trap there, man, and I'm not sure I want to step into it.
Oh, let's do this. Let's do this then. What characteristics denote somebody that's come into their own in 2011? What have you seen that's, you know, that's shared as a commonality between all these different people that you've seen actually make something of themselves or have an impact? What do you think?
Well, I think that I'm going to talk in an overall community sense here. And I think the idea of praxis becoming, you know, the big thing this year. I mean, there are people that have always kind of said that, but that has been like what I would call the major 2011 buzzword, praxis. You know, knowledge taken away from actually doing. I mean, that to me seems to be something that has shaped over the past year that really stands out, really. I think it's an indicator that you finally are ready to begin to develop your own individual, you know, core operating system, if I can use that terminology. And so that would be the one thing. The people that I've all seen come and move along have begun understanding that you got to practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm. And I would agree with that. I would agree with, you know, across the board that's just what I was talking about. It's that realization that it's not enough to, you know, bullshit on the internet. It's not enough to just be a philosophical kind of person, but you have to actually, you know, apply it in some way. It has to be, you have to learn by it through application. You have to learn through experience. And of course, the flip side of that, I'll step in it since you don't want to, without naming names or anything. And it's, you know, this is across the board with several people in 2011 that we've seen that have been, you know, beating their heads against the same wall for a long time and expecting different results, where, you know, it's all about ideals. It's all about belief and not about what they're actually experiencing. So, you know, deluding yourselves, you know, trying to fool yourself, trying to tell you that things are going well when they're not, when clearly they're not, you know, not having a grip on, you know, what's going on in the real world, you know, trying to exist purely on the internet through some, you know, facade or some image. And, you know, you insert name here. There's a whole bunch of people like that. And, you know, what I think is it's sad is that these kind of people, though, because of the facade, because of how much effort they put into their image, they attract, you know, those like you and I. They attract people from all over, you know, all over the place who are looking at, you know, looking at what they, how they present themselves, and with the hope that maybe there's something to it, that maybe it, there's more, you know, there's more depth, that there's something real, and that you want to, like for me, it's, you know, wanting to discover, you know, if there's something behind it, well, then I definitely want to find out what, get clued into what it is they're doing, because my, you know, mentality is always looking at success and looking to emulate success. So if somebody presents themselves as a successful person, well, then I'm going to sit them down and pick their brain and find out what it is about, you know, what they got going on as being successful. But when you sit somebody down to find out what they got going on, you know, that's successful, and in fact they've got nothing, you know, that their track record is, you know, basically holding together, you know, I don't know, a website that has five or six people going on it at any given time, or you know, that are active in a period of time. And again, this is not one person. This is, you know, insert name. You know, it's there's a whole slew of people like that who, you know, they, it's a lot of shit talking on the internet. And then, you know, what do you do for in the real world? Well, I sell shoes, or I live with my mom and dad, or, you know, whatever their deal is, you know, that they would never be as boisterous or as extravagant in the real world as they might be online. Well, then, you know, that's kind of a letdown. So that's, I think that's the thing that, you know, looking at 2011 is, you know, dealing with people like that. I have come to the conclusion that it's not even, I'm not, unless, you know, if I see somebody like that in the future, in 2012, if I see somebody like that kind of piques my interest, my initial response is not going to be to, you know, tap into that person to find out what's going on. My initial response is pretty much just going to be to ignore that person. And then if they end up coming to me and are able to actually demonstrate how they're successful, which means that I have to have my shit together. And that would be, that's the biggest takeaway for me, is that I have to have my shit together to merit a successful person's interest. Then we'll talk. But yeah, there's no more, you know, tall tales, hearing what somebody's doing and what it is they're accomplishing and what goals they've set, and then investing any kind of time into them and finding out a week or two later that they really don't have any clue what they're doing or want to go in an entirely different direction. So.
Right on. Right on. I mean, so, I've seen other things that are, I guess, kind of, it's really interesting to me. Some people go so far to demonstrate their own, I don't know, individuality to, or their own success or their e-success by, you know, creating artificial games to play and, you know, a little, I don't know, high school like back tripping, or you know, trying to talk up Jesus in some way, you know, that like he belongs in a satanic paradigm in any way, shape, or form. I mean, that just kills me. Anyway, man, I mean, it's been a nuts year.
Right on. But it's those kinds of things. It's that kind of experience. It's that practice that you're talking about. So, you know, if 2011 has been anything in that way, it's been the year to suffer fools, basically. So, you know, moving forward, you know, who knows? 2012, it just might be a whole new kind of idiot or moron that we're dealing with. Or it might, you know, who knows? But my thing is going to be less about looking for it from somebody else, or less about believing it can be found in somebody else, and more about seeing what I can develop and do on my own. Of course, with, you know, collaboration with people who have the same mentality, who are like-minded, you know, not totally, you know, unilateral in whatever it is I've got going on. I think there's another big takeaway from 2011. Is that the way the Ooze has kind of blossomed as a community effort, the way the Ooze has kind of, you know, turned into this, I don't know what's called, like this collaborative project where you've got all these different voices with all these different ideas and all these different perspectives all focused on one goal, which is, you know, transgressing the system and awakening to something more, whether it's, you know, your potential in yourself, whether it's social reform, whether it's, you know, the destruction of the system, whatever it is, coming into our own as a people. The U seems to be at the forefront of that. And so it's gone from being kind of just a show where, you know, we talked about the cults and different ideas and we goofed around a little bit to something with a little bit of, you know, with some teeth. So I think that's been a big thing as well. And, of course, you know, if Warren Fort Satanic International Network and that to spur us on, to put us in connection with all those people, you know, and not to jerk anybody off or anything, but when you talk about a resource for people like us, for Satanists, it doesn't get better than the Satanic International Network, because there's no bullshit really as far as, you know, here are these rules, you have to follow these, you know not common sense rules, but, you know, you have to call this guy master or this guy teacher or sensei or whatever. And, you know, the bullshit titles and everything else. No. You just show up and sin, you hang out, you say your piece, and if what you have to say makes sense, well then it goes up the chain. If what you have to say is bullshit, well, then it gets written down, and that's just the way it works. It's the way it works in the real world, so why shouldn't it work that way on the Internet? So some of the smartest, toughest, you know, most versatile, most able-minded people I have met on the Internet have been through sin. There's some bullshit occasionally, but all in all, that's another thing I think it's really risen in my mind as impressive is the way that sin has developed. So we're at the bottom of the hour. So we're 30 minutes in. The number is 347-989-1371. So I guess we're going to spend the next half hour kind of talking about what we might got going on for 2012, what we hope to accomplish. Again, not necessarily resolutions, but, you know, just what we're engaged in. I don't know if we want to roll a commercial and take a minute or just roll into it.
Yeah. I'd say it's a commercial, man.
All right. So we're going to roll our one commercial, and then we're going to get back into what we're doing in 2012.
Creative Oddity Studios. Creative Oddity Studios. Stickers, T-shirts, skateboard decks, lighters, prints, posters, and many other fine pieces of merchandise. It's some of the best damn artwork you'll find on the Internet. The creative assault and meandering of Jason Sorrell, T.C. Downey, and Vanessa Lee. Coleman! What is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to visit Creative Oddity Studios. Bondage art, digital manipulation, erotica, demon girls, fantasy, tattoo art, horror, occult, and we dare to call it artwork.
It's like candy, but for your eyes!
Check out our very popular books on the occult and Satanism, now available in hard copy and downloadable format. Hoo-wah! Check out our blogs on art, tattoo work, what life is like as a tattoo artist, social issues, philosophy, lowbrow culture in Austin, Texas, and eminentmind.info. You'll enjoy them.
If you can read!
Creative Oddity Studios. www.creativeodditystudios.com.
I like the naked girls.
Creative Oddity Studios!
All right. So, what are we doing in 2012? Right off the bat, top of my mind is that we got to come up with some more commercials. We gotta come up with some more advertising or some more, you know, whatever it is, so we just don't have our one little spot. I actually was checking out a local pizza place's website here, Conan's Pizza. It's an Austin pizza joint. Just awesome pizza. And looking at writing a blog about the pizza place and everything else. My 12-year-old and I were there eating pizza today. And they did some spots in the 80s, some radio commercials that were just brilliant. So I'm looking at emulating something like that, where they basically took classic fairy tales and retold them in a way that, you know, kind of advertised the pizza, but in a very tongue-in-cheek adult manner and everything. So that's something I'm thinking about. So I know you got you're starting right off the bat, man. What do you got going on tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning, I got to get up at, I think, like 6:30 and be to the school by 9. I start my apprenticing training for tattoo artist tomorrow morning, so it should be fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
What's actually really kind of cool, too, and I just noticed, is coincidentally, as I'm going through this school, which I'll be able to get all the proper licensing and stuff, Florida has just passed a law making it so that all tattoo artists have to now have this license. So there's a whole bunch of people that are going to have to hurry up and get through this thing. And they've got like 6 months or something like that to do it, but they got to get through the school in 6 months. And, I already have mine, so that means, I should be able to get into a shop pretty much quicker than other people.
Right on, because you're already a licensed artist. Cool.
Right.
That's
right.
Awesome, man.
So, yeah, I think
right
so.
On.
It's day one of a new beginning, actually. It's been coming along since I think that night that I made that video, Fragments of Firebirds, and I was talking about the Phoenix Rising again, that's really where I made up my mind that I needed to remodel everything that I was doing. And so far it's worked out pretty well for me. I mean, I've got actually 3 books in different stages. One of them's a collaborative book, and then the other 2 I'm working on myself. That the one that's a collaborative book, and maybe another 2-3 months on it, and it should be done. So that's good news.
Right on.
Cool, man. Trying to figure what else I got going on. Project around the house, and just trying to further push myself.
Right on. Pretty much the same here. It's just really, kind of get into what it is I can accomplish and what I can do. I always have different little books and everything else I'm working on. It's kind of always in the back burner, and these things get, as they get published, they get published. My big thing recently was, because we're talking about moving this spring. It's just going to be moving. We're not moving from Austin. We're just moving from one place to another. You kind of wear a place out after a while, you're just in one place for too long and you want something different, some change. It's only to get, new appliances. So we're moving from one rental to another. But as we're kind of, paring down everything and you're focused on this eventual move, one of the things I'd had to do is go through all my portfolios and see what I had, see what I wanted to get rid of, what maybe I should do something with or not do something with. And came up with a stack of, just all kinds of stuff. Tattoo art, erotic art, actual, art paintings and things like that. That they've been online on different occasions for like over the last 10 or 15 years, this different artwork. And what I'm thinking about doing is kind of putting together some sort of, just a book, just a collection of the work, so that it's all in one place and it's published and it's available for people to check out if they want to check it out, more than just the website. But, stuff that I did, when I was in college, stuff that I've done over the years that had no real place on the Creative Body Studios website. And writing about it a little bit, about the process of drawing. So that's something that I'm thinking about. And the stack is, sitting on a desk in one of my rooms. So it's staring me in the face. I got to do something with it. So that's probably coming in 2012.
Right on.
Other than that, I want to do another tattoo art set. So another flash set. Yeah, Jamie's looking at me. I talk about doing this every year. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. There's that. And it's, a lot of it just depends on what I've got going on as far as product. That's the other thing, is that any of these things I'm talking about doing can get derailed by, you know, paying commissions, you know, actual tattoo work and stuff like that. You know, all that, you know, all the stuff is, you know, if I have the time to do it.
Right then.
But yeah, and that's the other thing. That's, I guess that's the other thing, is that I really want to bolster my number of tattoo appointments I'm taking every week. The amount of tattooing that I'm actually doing. Really getting into, you know, really digging deep and, you know, getting it, really pushing how many, you know, just how many tattoos I can do. And I'm trying, once again to really expand on the kind of artwork that is more reflective of what I like, rather than just taking, you know, any tattoo project. So it's while I'm looking for more people to tattoo, I'm also going to look at being more selective about what it is I'm tattooing. You can only do people's names and hearts and butterflies so much before you're sick of it. And it doesn't do your portfolio any good either. If you're tattooing the same thing over and over and over again, well, it's hard to show any growth in your portfolio. You know, the names get a little bit better, a little tighter and everything else, but it's still, you know, a name. So that's kind of the thing I'm working towards. Ken Silverdot, he's been in here every once in a while. He got that great big back piece. That was a lot of fun. I really dug doing that. So I'd like to do more work of that type, you know, along those lines. So, and it's going to be, I thought about doing the whole, you know, I offered to do tattoos for free last year, you know, 24 tattoos, so two tattoos a month. And only a few people actually tried it, you know, took advantage of that. I think this year it's just going to be a matter of, you know, talking to people about what it is they'd like to do, and giving people a really good deal on their tattoo. Maybe the mentality is, you know, if they get it for free, well, how, you know, how good could the work be? You know, regardless of what my portfolio is and what have you, you know, maybe they want to pay for it. So we'll just go down that road and see what happens.
Yeah, speaking of tattoos, actually, I stumbled across the line work for that commission I did years ago now. You remember that drawing I had you do for me?
Yeah, I have it. I actually have that here on a desk.
I've got the line work still for it, and I was actually trying to figure out if I get moving along in this thing. I mean, that's one thing I'd definitely like to, fuck, that would be a reason to fly to Austin, just to have that extra tattoo. Tattooed by you on me. I think that would be like the perfect touch. I don't know that you've ever actually put one of your own demon balls on somebody.
I've done four now. If you count the two on Ken, that it'd be four altogether. But yeah, the artwork that TC's talking about, this is video, so nobody knows the hell we're talking about. I think there were three demon girls in it. There were two. There are two demon girls in it. One of them is on a chain. She's hoisted up in the air. Her ass is up in the air, and she's looking. Her neck is bent down, so she's looking underneath her body and looking back. And then there's a demon girl behind her, kind of holding the chain, not holding her up, just holding her steady. And then in the foreground is this great big, it's a hot poker basically, but it's a brand. And it's this really cool mix of occult symbols. You know, obviously Tot, so she's getting ready to be branded with this symbol. And in these tattered banners, it says Fear the Beast or something like that. That would definitely be a cool tattoo. It might be something that I want to actually redraw and update. But yeah, definitely that would be a fun tattoo to do, and it would be really cool in the portfolio because I think I colored it once or something, and you know, really had an orange, you know, the glow in that brand and everything else, and that would be fun to try to translate into a tattoo. So that would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome. That's something I think I'm going to kind of tentatively plan for this year. So.
Right on.
Once
right
I
on.
Get started, I should be able to get going pretty quickly, I think. I mean, I've already actually done some tattooing. I've done some on myself. You know, I've done some on pigskin. And so now I'm just kind of looking to getting the professional or the technical insight that I need to really push forward.
Right on, right on. Well, and it's, I mean, we've been talking about, I got my dad, I've been talking with my dad and everything else. He's got a place in Florida. He's about, the name of the town he's in actually escapes me. He's somewhere on the West Coast, and he said like maybe an hour north of Miami somewhere.
Naples?
And I don't think I see Naples. I would remember because I vacationed in Naples before. I don't think he said Naples. It's probably someplace smaller than Naples. I don't know, but probably close to where all that's at. But anyways, you know, he's down in Florida through the winter, basically January through, you know, March, April, or May, something like that. And yeah, I was talking to him. I was like, you know, hey, any of the other kids actually come out and visited you? And when you're down there, he's like, nope, none of them have done it yet. And I talked to my brother. My brother talked about, you know, taking his motorcycle down there and doing something or whatever. And I know that, like, Southwest or whatever from Austin runs these airline specials, you know, $99 to fly, you know, out to, you know, Florida or whatever. So
right,
you know, knowing that, you know, the old man will be out there and everything else. I don't know how close that is to where you're at. I'm not, you know, I've been through Florida. It's not, you know, if I'm driving, you know, west to east, it's not that long a drive. But I don't
about
know, man.
Three
might
hours,
be that,
20
to 20. Arrange. Yeah, yeah. So it might be something to arrange to, you know, head out to Florida for a week or whatever and see the old man, swing by your place.
Yeah, I mean, this thing's going to be a mammoth, though, man. I mean, my rib cage is no small thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Ken's back was big, man. So, yeah, it would be an all-day project at least. But, yeah, I'd be down. So, but we'll see. We'll see how that works out.
I think it's important to say that I'm going to continue myself to make a conscious effort to sustain myself outside of, you know, the bullshit going on out there, man. I mean, that's really been the whole reason why this particular lifestyle that I'm walking in towards is appealing to me. I mean, let's face it, the hours you would normally run aren't really, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not really conducive to raising a kid, too.
Yeah. You said doing what? The hour's not conducive to what?
Conducive to raising a kid, a five-year-old.
As a tattoo artist?
I mean, most shops here are open like 10 to 7, 10 to 9, 10 to 11, just depends on, I mean, that's like the earliest hours I can think of and the latest hours I can think of. And, you know, kids, they get up at like 7, got to go to school, got to be picked up, you know, in the afternoon.
Yeah, but
you know
I think, I mean, we had, during the summer, when I was working at a shop, we have the kids, it depends on the shop you're working at, too. Some shops will, you know, let you have the kids in the back room or whatever, someplace, you know, out of the way. But that means that, you know, because most of your time at a tattoo shop isn't actually spent tattooing. It's spent kind of waiting for that customer to show up. So, you know, you could, have your son kind of, if your tattoo shop is cool with it, have your son kind of hanging out or whatever and seeing how that goes. On the other hand, if he's at school, I mean, that makes things easier in one way because, you know, he's at school while you're at the shop. But then the other thing, of course, is that you have to break away or you have to be able to, you know, break away if you have to go pick him up yourself. If you can't go pick him up yourself, then you have to be able to make that arrangement to have somebody pick him up for you. Or at least
right.
Get them to daycare or whatever, and that's, you know, that's a bigger expense. But you can make it work, man. I mean, there are people, you know, there are tattoo artists over the country that do it all the time who, you know, find a way. And that's the thing, man. I know that you want it bad enough that you're going to find a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm saying, man. It's really, I'm choosing the lifestyle that I'm choosing because of the affordability it gives me creatively to be independent. You know, obviously the ideal goal is to eventually not have to go to a tattoo shop to, you know, be working in your own place. You know what I mean?
Right on. Yeah, that's where the real money's at, is when you own the shop. So definitely, that's the way to go. Last year, occasionally, we talked about where the ooze was going, what direction that the ooze would be taking off into. 2012, what plans do you think we have for the ooze?
I think we need to develop some different platforms. There definitely needs to be at least one music hour uploaded onto here. My goal is to eventually supplement the additional time that's not being taken up by talk shows with some you know, live music compilations. I was really hoping to put something together that would be unsigned artists, you know, ones that were of a particular caliber, but hadn't yet been discovered, so to speak, or might never be discovered. I mean, the most awesome thing about the internet is the randomness and the availability. The audience itself is it's incredible. Everybody's online, so you have a crack at everybody. Of course, you know, certain bias or prejudices kind of begin to quickly narrow out who your actual audience is. But I mean, as a general rule, anybody could trip over at and listen. And I think it would be kind of cool to, you know, give these people a little more of a boost up. I mean, I'm trying to do what I love for a living and make it that way. And at the same point, I'd like to, you know, extend that same sort of thing to people who are really struggling to, you know, to get along that way too.
Well, I think, and that's something we kind of talked about for a while, is, you know, especially with, you know, the genre of music we like, getting the word out that we've got, and, you know, a radio show. You know, we could do an hour, 2 hours on any given night, and it would be archived. So it could be, you know, I think of, I want to say Radio Free Satan, where they, you know, they don't do actual live shows necessarily like we're doing on a regular basis. Instead, what they do is they record a block of shows, and then that block of shows plays over and over again, or plays, you know, once a week or what have you. So if we had a music show that we were doing once a week, even if it wasn't live, although live would probably be, you know, I think I'd rather, you know, DJ live than do a pre-recorded show. But then it's archived. So, you know, if you're a musician, you know that this music's going to be played. First of all, it's going to be available as the show of that type for the week. And then it's available, it's, you know, accessible to anybody who wants to check it out down the road. That'd be cool. I think another show idea that I would like to look into, if I can, you know, make time to make it happen, would be kind of a more of a spook house kind of show, you know, more of a just weird shit kind of, you know, kind of talk show, or not even a talk show, but just, you know, going over these just weird things. There's a show, and again, there's another show that just escapes me and everything else. This is something put on by the Museum of the Weird here in Austin, Texas. And these guys come out and they do, I mean, this is what they do every week, is they do, you know, whatever, you know, talk about horror movies. They talk about, you know, ghost sightings and, you know, UFOs, not so much coast to coast kind of stuff, but just an hour relating to stuff to people, telling people what, you know, what's out there. So almost kind of a, maybe a Sammy Terry kind of thing. Sammy Terry was a host in a horror movie for a horror movie show in Indianapolis for a long time. That kind of thing, where it was just, you know, spooky stories and stuff like that. But again, so, and it's a lot about, you know, trying to reach out to that larger crowd of people, and using the different, more mundane, more mainstream things to kind of, you know, getting people excited about what else might be going on with the different shows we're doing. But definitely expanding the shows, the type of shows we do, and bringing on more, developing the talent we have and bringing more people on board. That's what I'd like to see happen in 2012.
You know, with the way that this platform is actually set up, it would be kind of cool, and I don't have the time to make this kind of, and probably not the talent either, but to make this kind of thing happen, but it would be kind of cool if we could get, like, an old talk radio program. You know, back in the day before there was TVs, when you listened to radio broadcasts, sometimes they were fictional or fantasy-style radio broadcasts. It would be neat to have a show like that where there's different characters and different plots and whatever, and have the theme of the show be more geared towards like a Lovecraft occult kind of, you know, creep in the dark type thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, yeah, absolutely. The old time radio plays. That would be kind of cool, and we've got the people to do it, I think. If there were, you know, if there were people, if we can get, you know, the other guys interested, and girls interested in that kind of thing, where it wouldn't even have to be creating the, and at least initially, we wouldn't have to create the radio plays ourselves. All those radio plays you're talking about, a lot of them are public domain. They were created so long ago, and you can get some creepy stuff, and it would just be a matter of, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to send out, you know, everybody that's going to be involved is going to get their script in the mail, or, you know, no, you're going to get your script by email or told where to look online to find the script. And you just, you study your lines or whatever, and then, you know, come live, we just run with it. Do an hour-long show where we do the radio play, and then boom, there it is.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that would be kind of cool. If we were going to do something like that, we'd have to do like a pilot and see how it went and see what the feasibility is of regular production. You know, if it could be done on a semi-monthly thing, if it could be done on a monthly basis or a bi-monthly basis, or, you know, it would really depend on the kind of effort. But I think that that would be very cool. It would certainly help develop the culture, if I can loosely coin that term, and kind of create more of a feel of community. I think that community in itself is, when collaborative projects like that arrive.
Right on, Brian. The Ooze Radio Players. That'd be cool, man.
That'd be wild.
Yeah, make it a thing where, you know, we're, you know, do casting calls and the whole bit if it were to take off. So just, you know, if you think you got some talent, some vocal talent, that would be pretty cool. So
I think it would be beyond just having vocal talent. You would also have to, you're missing the benefit of having some kind of visual cue when that person's, you know, stopping talking. But then again, I guess if it's scripted all out, that should be all pretty obvious anyways.
But you can kind of get into it. You can have, like, if we got a hold of some radio play, and like some of these things are going to have places where, you know, there's special effects calls, you know, where it's thunderclap or horses, you know, running or whatever. Where we have to figure out how to reproduce that stuff. So if somebody were, you know, so interested in doing something like that, it would be, you know, a matter of somebody engineering all those different sounds and, you know, coming up with the different ways of doing it, either the old school way of doing it or coming up with some new digital way of doing it. So yeah, I mean, you'd have to love it, man. You'd have to love what you're doing to really get into that. But yeah, it would go well beyond just the vocal talent.
Right. I mean, I actually have some ideas for some stories, and that's not even an issue. It's just a matter of seeing if we can. It's just a matter of seeing if we can actually put forth something like that, if anyone would be interested in that sort of thing. But that would certainly be something I think would be, like, epically cool. I mean, it doesn't even have to be just the old radio plays. We could, pick out one of these obscure demonology rituals and enact it in audio or, you know, synthesize that kind of thing. It just depends. The imagination is endless for what we would be doing, but yeah.
Right on. Right on. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, we got about 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. So I guess next Sunday we're going to roll back into the take action show. We kind of took the holidays to kind of take it easy and everything. Next Sunday, there's been a lot of things going on with the Occupy movement. There's been a lot of things going on in the news that probably need to be addressed. And we want to hear from you folks with your ideas, what it is that you think people should be doing, or what the strategies you're using to deal with the modern environment, basically. What you got going on, what ideas you have about transgression. And I think that'll kick us off to the new year.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds good, man.
All right. I guess we'll just roll the outro. And thanks for tuning in. And this has been The Ooze, man. We'll catch you guys later.